Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, hello, everybody. Having another one of those damn nights. I don't know what it is with this show and everything working against me on the technical side. You know, we've got a scheduling system for this thing that, you know, for the call-in feature, we use the Blog Talk Network. And what's the word? It's not gender fluid. It seems to be time zone fluid. Is there such a thing as time fluid?
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah, it's time fluid because it decides. Oh, and I don't even have the mic turned on. I swore I took that live. Okay. Well, I was just explaining for those of you that were staring at the screen in silence, wondering why there was no sound, how every time we get ready to launch this thing, we are just riddled by technical issues. And we determined that the scheduling system for the Blog Talk Network is time fluid, kind of like being gender fluid. It's time fluid, and it does its own thing. It does whatever it wants. It's like Cartman. And sometimes it's in the Eastern time zone, and sometimes it's in the Central time zone. And so for the last however many episodes, not just this show, but also when I was creating episodes for the Disrespected Trucker radio show, for the last several months, every week, I always had to schedule it based on Eastern time, okay? And it's kind of confusing because I think some of the servers are out in New York, but the call-in line is like in Iowa. It's like in Cedar Rapids. So we set this up, and I always had to do it at Eastern time in order for it to start at the proper time, you know, for what we were scheduled. Well, today I did that, and literally 10 minutes before the show, I realized, even though I have set it up, you know, for 8 o'clock p.m., you know, because it's 8 o'clock Eastern, yeah, somewhere along the line, it flipped back to Central. And so I'm sitting there getting ready to launch the show, and I'm realizing the countdown clock has given me like an hour and 10 minutes until show. So I had to scrap the episode I created, create a whole new one. And in my rush, as I'm sitting there, you know, because I also have a 5-minute intro video that I have to launch over here on Restream for the video podcast. So as I'm sitting here doing all this stuff, time's ticking away. I forget to set our startup audio music, you know, our let's get it started. And I completely forgot that I didn't add that in when I recreated the episode. Yeah, so, you know, it's always something. It's always something. Hopefully we have some people over on the radio side. Hopefully we have some people on the video side. I see someone called in on the phone. Let's take a look and see if I recognize that number. Oh, yep, looks like my dad's watching. Hey, Dad. Or listening, I should say. He's listening, not watching. Daryl, how are you? How are you doing?
Man, we always have these issues. Like Chris said, we'll go through everything, and it's smooth. Everything is 100%
yeah.
Smooth. And right when it's showtime, it goes, rah! I'm doing all right. I got a bulged disc, so that's why I'm kind of sitting the way I am. I'm supposed to be laying flat, but I can't do this laying flat. And I can't find, again, here we go, I cannot find any lighting that matches me. So you're going to have to deal with some of these shadows. Did my military duty for 2 weeks, and then, you know, we came off. But then, so I was supposed to drive the truck, yeah, with the bulge disc, got to make money. They're saying there's no sound on YouTube. There was an opening when it went mute, when we went live.
At the very beginning, there wouldn't have been because I forgot to unmute the mic. with everything else.
So now the reason I'm usually I'm on the road, but the only reason I'm not on the road because the rates suck so bad that I might as well let the truck sit because I got to make at least $2.25 a mile, and we have rates we have brokers saying, "Oh, you can haul this for $1.27 and $1.50." I was like, that doesn't even fill up my truck. So, yep. So I'm sitting here. There we go. So I'm doing good, though. I'm happy to be here on the air and happy to see everybody. Let's get this started.
Well, hopefully we have sound. I really hope we have sound. I had to get a hold of the tech support people over with the Restream and walk through. We had to do, they had me doing sound tests and everything else. And at the end of the day, what we figured out, their software was working. Their software was receiving the audio. But apparently Google Chrome, or whatever, was not sending the audio up to those platforms. Because, I don't know, it must be in cahoots with the scheduling system over at Blog Talk, because Daryl and I did multiple video and sound tests just to make sure that all video and all sound was coordinated and going out to the platforms. And before I even started getting followers on Twitter, for example, I was doing test broadcasts over there, going in and deleting them from the page, and everything worked fine. Until the day we launched the first episode, and then all of a sudden Google just decided that it didn't like Restream anymore, and it just wasn't going to share that audio out. So it's been a learning experience getting all this stuff to go. And as always, the house is never busier than when I'm trying to do the radio show. But hopefully there's not any noise bleeding through here. But, man, I want to remind everybody, for those of you that are listening over Blog Talk, we are also live streaming a video of this broadcast over on YouTube at Distracted with Bikers and Gibbs. We actually created a whole new YouTube channel just for it. And over on Bikers and Digital Live, Bikers and Digital Media at Bikers and Live. On Twitter, or X, or as Daryl likes to call it, Malcolm.
Twitter X! Malcolm Twitter!
And so,
by any means necessary.
By any means necessary. A lot of that going on lately, it seems like. So, yeah, if you don't mind, pop over, check out our YouTube channel, and maybe even give us a follow throughout the week. We'll also be posting some little shorts, just doing some political commentary on some of the wonderful happenings in this crazy world that we're in. And man, I'm going to go ahead and remind everyone we do have a guest call in line. And so if you are watching us over live video, or whether you're listening to us over the Blog Talk Network, any of you can call in with a question, comment. The guest call-in line is 516-387-1733. I'm going to say it again. It's 516-387-1733. We do love hearing from our audience with their questions and comments and things that we talk about. And probably without further ado, should we get into some of the content of the show tonight, Daryl, or are we just going to complain about production issues?
Yeah, let's go ahead and get the content. You know, somebody probably looking there saying, why is he laying down? No, it's not that kind of show. So I'm just trying to get comfortable with this bull's desk. This thing sucks.
You know, he was distracted. All right.
Oh,
what should we open with here? We got so many stories.
Oh,
maybe we should run with, you know what? How about Marathon? Marathon, the Marathon Refinery. I was surprised. I saw that diesel prices had jumped today. I think it was another 20 cents a gallon from yesterday or the day before, whatever it was. And even the places that were a little bit cheaper had also jumped up quite a bit. And then I found out, oh, yeah, there was this whole refinery thing. So basically down, is it Gary, Louisiana? Something like that. It's in Louisiana. There's a Marathon.
Yeah, Garyville.
Oil refinery. Garyville. There we go. Not Gary. I'm thinking of Gary, Indiana. So apparently this thing, there was some sort of malfunction, something caught fire. The bottom line is that refinery is shut down kind of indefinitely until they kind of go in and assess the situation. Of course, that limits production of gasoline when they have to shut, take one of those refineries offline. It's almost like the hurricane wasn't on track to hit it, and so they just, took it out some other way. I don't know, is it just me, or does it seem like these refineries are going down all the damn time? There's always one right around the end of summer. Have you ever noticed that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, always near the end of summer where we got a lot of peak time driving, trying to get freight across the United States, to places that need it, whether it's food, clothing, hardware, just your ordinary products. And these fuel prices going up, they're going up and up and up, but unfortunately, the rates are not coming down. And so it's harder on the independents. The bigger companies, they have all their trucks and they got these, they get huge fuel discounts anyway, no matter what. So they just flood the market. But the people the small business person, like myself and other independents, we're slowly getting squeezed out because we can't run cheap like that. It doesn't work. And the thing it will make so bad, even if the bigger companies are covering it, it's still being passed on to you, the consumers. So, especially when it deals with petrol, we have so many things that we have that deals with petrol that, closing down this plant, that causes everything to go up. That includes lipstick, your ladies' eyewear, clothing, the things that make some of your cars. That includes your electric cars, too. I mean, almost everything, if you look, almost everything has petrol in it. And each time one of these stations go down and they say they close it, for so much amount of time or definitely, like Suncor here in Denver, Colorado, it makes a big impact on everything. That includes, you and I, everyone. And it sucks.
Oh, yeah. So I'm doing kind of this cool thing, Daryl.
Yes,
sir. So, I'm looking at how our screens are positioned on the broadcast here. There's no shame in my game, so I don't mind telling people this. I'm actually, staring at my wall because on the monitor, it looks like I'm looking at you while you're talking.
Look at my brown skin. Notice as it glows.
Hopefully, I'll have to check it out later because I can't even tell how much it looks like.
You do look like you're looking at me.
Yeah.
Now you're looking at the camera. You're going straight ahead.
Now I'm looking at you. When I'm looking at you, it looks like I'm looking away from everything, but I'm actually, because you're right here on the screen, about right here, where I can see. But when I look over there, I'm just looking at the wall over there. But
tell me about my eyes.
I can't see them because you still haven't got your lighting fixed.
Yeah, I know. Oh, my gosh. I was going to broadcast outside, but back issues. Let me see if I can do this. Oh, this sucks. Let me try this.
All right. You're good. I mean, you look nice and relaxed for the show.
Yeah.
You talked about big companies being able to absorb a lot of this added expense, but they're even starting to struggle. We talked about last week, Prime Trucking recently laid off I think it was 400 or so company drivers. And of course they got rid of the company drivers first, so they can keep their contractors on making those truck payments and absorbing the loss on the low rates that are out there. You know, a lot of those contractors are going out of business. Of course, you know, Yellow, I think they said the third largest trucking company in the country, you know, they just went bankrupt or are in the process of filing bankruptcy. And another friend of mine works for one of the other mega companies, one of the really large companies, and they are starting to get a lot of pressure on their fueling locations. You know, it used to be they would make recommendations of where to stop and get fuel based on what was cheapest, you know, with the company's discount and everything along their route. But it wasn't a really hard and fast thing. If it didn't really fit into their timing, their schedule, you know, they would just get fuel wherever. And now they're starting to crack down on that, like big time, like starting to rag people up for missing their recommended fuel stops. And when companies are doing that, that's because they're struggling really hard to manage their operating costs, because that means they're running at razor thin profit margins. And I would imagine in a lot of cases with the rates that are out there, even they are running some of those loads at a loss right now. Not a good time for the industry at all. And then he's kind of gotten into this deal where every time he runs a load, it's time to do a reset, because just do a reset. We can't get you loaded, you know, for another couple days or whatever. So he runs one load, he sets for 2 days. He runs another load, sets for 2 days. You know, he used to run, you know, anywhere from 3,000 to 3,500 miles a week. And, you know, he's said lately it's been like, you know, barely hitting 2,000 miles a week, you know. So as a company driver, he's seeing his pay, you know, cut nearly in half because of the lack of work that's out there.
Well, that's
I'm pretty sure what I meant.
I'm in. Yeah, well, you know, I'm an independent, and I said I'm an independent, so that means, you know, I got to pay for my insurance. My insurance hasn't went down. I got to pay for my fuel costs. My fuel costs hasn't went down. My repair costs hasn't went down. I just had to spend almost $7,000 on tires. You know, but yet I'm not doing anything right now. You know, my chiropractor, I went to him today, we were talking, and he knows three auto carriers, and he said they've been sitting for about 3 months. They're not moving automobiles. You know, this administration, you know, we went from the hottest economy to now we're sitting still and we are sucking. Big time, you know, and then you have Biden. They come up with the news talking about, well, we're gonna raise wages again. How are you gonna raise wages when we're not doing anything? You're not moving any product. Yeah, I mean, how can I say it? Their mental attitude on how they're doing things is so mind-boggling. They just have everything so messed up. Everything. I mean, they're the opposite of Midas. Midas, everything he touches turns to gold. Everything this administration touches turns to crap.
Thank you for censoring that.
Oh, oops. Turns into caca. There we go.
Yeah, no, you censored it. You said crap. We're good. We can say that.
Oh, I'm safe on that one. Oh, that's the safe word.
Great. It's 2023. We're all about safe words. And, so that's kind of the shape of the trucking industry. And I can't wait to see, you know, how much more diesel jumps up. But I know where we grab fuel over here with the work I do. In the last, 3 weeks now, 3 to 4 weeks, The price literally went up 90 cents a gallon in a span of, I think it was 7 days, 8 days.
Yep.
Time.
Seven days.
Jumped 90 cents a gallon. And since then, it's gone up another 30 cents. So, yeah, literally over the course of the last 3 weeks or so, $1.20 a gallon increase at the pump on diesel out here. And, you know, when you went from 349 up to now we're at 469, you know, that $1.20, I mean, that's a big percentage. I'm sitting here, I'm trying to do math in my head while I'm trying to think of the next thing to say at the same time. You know, it's a big increase. Okay, it's a big percentage increase. It's like, what, like a 40%, 38% increase, something like that. I can't do math in my head and talk and be on camera all at the same time. So, you know, maybe one of you mathematicians out there can call me in and give me the actual percentage of increase that is. But it's a big increase, and it's more than people can afford, I'll tell you that. I know the operation I'm working with. They're definitely feeling the crunch of that. Plus, this is supposed to be the busy time of year. You know, I work in the construction business, so we're supposed to be really busy now, and it's way, way down from what it should be this time of year. So, yeah, it's being felt all over the industry. Another friend of mine, you know, he runs air freight out of one of the terminals at O'Hare. They're having to supplement with all kinds of garbage off the load board because the air freight just isn't there. I know the containers are hurting. Containers aren't there. Yeah, it's bad news industry-wide right now. We are definitely in a recession. I don't know. It seemed like the definition of recession changed, but really seems like we're in a recession. But moving on.
Big time.
Yeah, you know, there's this general strike thing coming up. How many people out there in our audience, have you heard about this general strike September 1st? It seems kind of funny. But when you look into it, I'm afraid it's got a lot more backing than people realize. I'm afraid it's going to get a lot bigger than people think it will. Because, let's see. So, all right. So there is a website out there for it. There's a bunch of people on TikTok, and this just kind of popped up overnight. All of a sudden, all these TikTokers are out there talking about we're having this general strike September 1st. Basically, don't go to work. Don't go spend money. Don't go shopping. Don't buy gas. Don't go out driving around. Just, you know, we're going to stick it to the man kind of thing, you know. Avoid giving money to big corporations and all this stuff. And there's, like, no list of real demands yet. And everybody's just, they're talking around it, and they talk about, you know, the inflation and, you know, how nobody's making enough money to make ends meet. And, you know, it's time we had this little strike, you know. So it almost comes across like a kind of a protest against the current administration, which is why I would imagine it's gaining some traction. Because despite what the man on the television tells you, a lot of people are not real happy with the current administration, especially the economy that's been produced. So there's a lot of people interested in it, and they're kind of latching on and rebroadcasting it and encouraging people. Yeah, let's stick it to the man. Well, it gets a little bit more in depth than that. There was one guy in particular who's like, this whole thing seems weird. Like, where did this come from? Who's organizing it? Mm-hmm. And he found a website, and basically this is being done for racial, economic, and gender equality type stuff. I know. But he managed to get in there. You know, they claim that there are no real leaders. No one officially leads it. It's just a ever-changing network of content creators that are jumping in and moving this movement along. But he managed to find that there were some partners in this movement. And one of those partners is a little media site called Moneyless Society. And I've definitely run across a lot of their content out there. And Moneyless Society it's a communist site. They are absolutely staunch anti-capitalist. They're constantly running articles about why capitalism sucks and why we need to, you know, stop participating in a capitalist society. We've got to end capitalism now. And they run a lot of stuff. They absolutely, positively will not allow you to question or comment against any of their content. I went in one day, and I don't remember what exactly it was. I just threw out there, well, hey, can I ask a question? You know, what is this or that or the other? And it wasn't insulting. It wasn't accusatory. I literally just said, hey, can I just throw this question out there and maybe throw out another point of view? Because that's how I start off anytime I'm engaging on the internet. I start off respectfully with people. Doesn't end that way a lot of times. But I start off that way. And to my surprise, almost immediately, my comment was deleted, and I was blocked from making any additional comments on their channel or on their page. I was like, wow. Mm-hmm. How authoritarian of you. I mean, you can't even question it. What? I mean, you just need to accept it. You know, Moneyless, they're one of those, they're leftist authoritarian. Whatever they say, you better hold it in higher regards than you do the Word of God, because they are the high and mighty intellectuals. They have everything figured out, and we just clearly can't live in a world where people are allowed to question any conclusions they've arrived at. So that's one of their partners. Then there's the Trans Radical Activist Network. They're also a partner in this little scheme to come up with this this day of general striking, right? And so essentially there's a few other partners. Some guy, something burrito. Trans burrito or something. I don't know. Some sort of crazy.
They make good burritos.
He's some content creator. Apparently, that's a lot of followers.
Breakfast burrito.
It wasn't breakfast burrito. Somebody out there has to know. Something burrito.
I like
local
a lot of
burrito.
Bacon.
I don't know. But Burrito Dude is apparently a partner as well in this, and I guess he's a well-known content creator, and I don't know. I don't know who that is, but whatever it is, they apparently are trying to get 11 million people to strike is their eventual goal, to get 11 million strikers. And so September 1st is just the beginning. It's just the beginning. And I don't know what it is, but somehow there's some significance. There was some research done, and 11 million seems to be the magic number of people just refusing to participate in more or less the supply chain, the workforce. And apparently that does some sort of higher level of economic damage. But apparently these little one-day strikes are just something that they're gonna keep going while they just add to the number of people that are gonna register to strike. And when they hit 11 million, they're going to do an extended. Daryl thinks that. I mean,
we're going to extend it today.
My thought is, I'm afraid they might have some serious financial backers that might actually make this thing move forward, because, you know, there's not enough economic damage being done already in this country. We clearly need to just add fuel to the fire. No pun intended, marathon people. Anyway. I'm sure it was an accident. I wouldn't think anyone would
say
But, Daryl, you seem to think this is, you don't think it's going to go anywhere?
God, all right. They want 11 million people to be on strike. Okay. There's a lot of people sitting around just taking a welfare check and not even working. So that kind of dwindles that out. And then in the real world, okay, you have these Marxist people and these people for socialism. I'm sorry, the crap doesn't work. Because if it worked in the first place, you wouldn't have all these people coming to the United States. Let's just put it out there. You know, and these people, they sit back and they mask these things. They don't come out and tell you, well, we're socialist or Marxist. They come up with some weird title, the Moneyless Society. Well, apparently some of y'all are moneyless because you're striking. You don't want to work, so you ain't going to make any money. And then instead of just coming out and saying, hey, we're a Marxist association, or we're a Marxist this or socialist this, and this is what we believe. And I think all of y'all to do it, because majority of the people in the United States will look at them and say, you know what, go pound sand. Because, you know what, this economy, this system that we have, it is not the greatest, because we have too many greedy people that are in this, and they don't give a care. But this system works. Because if it didn't, then a lot of these people are coming overseas, coming here making money and getting rich. You can't tell me that it doesn't work. It's just, unfortunately, our system needs a revamp. Because there's a lot of people, they are not getting their fair share of the American pie. And this thing, talking about striking, okay, you're going to sit up here, honestly, you people on TikTok, you're going to honestly tell me that a parent that have kids, that you're going to tell them that they need to take the day off to go ahead and make your agenda? All right, I think you need to wake up and hit some reality, because everybody's not like y'all. When you're sitting back and you're not doing anything, and the only thing you do is be on TikTok all day and gone day. So apparently you have time where you can just sit back and say, well, you know what, it'll be good not to go to work, because you're probably not working anyway. And if you are working, you're not going to take the time off, because your boss will look at you and say, if you do, then don't come back. Unless you want to take a personal day, which some of y'all in TikTok land, you don't want to take a personal day, because you do want to have a thing called a vacation. So you can sit back and do nothing and eat a bunch of stuff or play video games and be on TikTok all day. So this plan that they're trying to do, I think it's a bunch of BS. That's just my take on it. It's not going to work, because most of these people that are crying about this, you voted for Biden in the first place. You voted for him. He told you what he was going to do. He told you he's going to screw up the United States. He did it, and now you're complaining? How about this? Vote for somebody. Don't look at the party. Vote for somebody that makes some common sense that says, hey, let's start putting the United States first and get us back to where we're at. Like putting our, for instance, the bags of chips. You notice how they've gotten smaller. Are we going to talk about getting them bigger, back to their regular size again? How about, are we going to talk about, let's bring down our regular, bring down these wages so we can at least start the economy again? How about stuff like that, instead of sitting on your butt and saying, well, you know, I don't think that we should go to work. Let's stick it to the man. But honestly, how are you on TikTok going to stick it to the man? Really? He's probably looking at you saying, laughing at him, saying, you know what? Go eat your bonbons and go blow your bubble gum, play your video games, and talk about your stuff on TikTok and let these people who are Marxists go ahead and brainwash you so we can sit back and look at you and say, oh, let's see, sooner or later you'll be coming to us for a job because either you're going to be broke or the government's going to run out of giving you free money. There you go. So, no, I think it's just absolutely stupid.
Okay.
I mean, the real world, we have to work. We have to feed our kids. We have responsibilities. Unfortunately, the way this administration has ran the United States, it has made it a lot harder. But we have responsibilities that we have to go ahead and make payments and do things so we can keep our families going, keep ourselves going, and keep our businesses going. That's just the way it is. That's how life is. Deal with it.
All right. So serious question, Darryl.
Okay.
What if, because they still haven't put together their list of demands. They're basically waiting until they get enough people to move forward with a real strike to do their list of demands. What if they demanded more chips in the bag? Would you be in at that point, or?
No, because more chips does not help me pay my bills. It may help me with my hunger a little bit and get my fingers a little salty, but it does not help me with my bills. Nope.
Oh, I thought maybe if it was all that and a bag of chips, you might go for it. But, all right.
It got me a big bag of chips.
Darryl's not in, folks. He's not going to go for it.
Nope.
Okay, now what if? Let's pretend for a second. Okay.
All right.
What if there were some big-name, heavy-duty financial backers to this thing,
okay,
working behind the scenes quietly? And what if they were using their power and their influence, and they got a certain percentage of labor unions to go for this thing, along with whatever their online campaign manages to bring in as far as just random people agreeing to strike? What if a lot of the certain corporations that seem to go along with certain injustices were to agree that they're going to shut their stores down for the duration of this? So what if this thing actually has the kind of financial backing that some right-wing conspiracy theorist nut jobs say were behind financing the Summer of Love in 2020, right? What if they have that kind of financial backing and that type of financial influence? Do you think then there's a possibility that this thing actually may go forward?
We're pretending, right? We're still pretending, right?
Hold on. I do want to put something
okay
out there real quick. I know I threw out the phone number earlier. I'm going to give the phone number one more time. It is 516-387-1733. 516-387-1733. And if you got something you want to say, hit the number 1 on your dial pad. That way we know that that you want to say something. And we actually, while we're playing pretend here, Darryl, we actually do have a caller who wants to say something. So if the last 4 of your number is 6606, we are going to bring you on the air now and hear what you have to say. All right. Go ahead, caller. How are we doing tonight?
Okay. My name's Joe. And I don't think
it's Joe.
And, hey, guys. The thing is that you were talking before about you had done some research and looked into the site that supposedly is made up of just a bunch of mixed citizens coming together coincidentally and going to coagulate together to do this general strike. And you find out that they have a trans department and they have a Marxist department, which wouldn't take even a question. And now you're talking about funding. Well, of course, to me it's not pretend. It's all true. Part of the Marxist agenda, the Klaus, not Schwab of the WEF. It's the it's that doctrine that the Marxists have been following, you know, for about 20 years. I forget the name, but you probably know it if I said it. The thing is, what they want to do is create dissension, disorder, disruption. And by doing this, it's happening. Now they're getting the citizens together, or as many as possible, in order to do this. So it's not about helping out the people. It's about disrupting more of the United States. It's too bad, though, that what I also heard you say that the docks don't have any containers with which to unload. Yeah, we're if we're not in an official recession right now, we will be. So all of this is coming to the head of what they and their agenda, what they want. It's really bad news.
Yeah, no, I would agree. I know the container business is slow here around Chicago, and obviously, you know, we still got a little bit of a trade war kind of going on with China. And, you know, obviously a lot of people would lay that on Trump's feet, you know, because he did kind of start firing the first shots across the bow in the trade with China. But I don't know. Was that one of those deals where ultimately they were going to get us into this checkmate anyway unless we stepped up and tried to do something? I don't know.
Well, of course it was. Of course it was. I mean, the Rothschild, first off, China, Russia, United States, all are imperialistic nations, and every nation that has nuclear warheads, and any nation in particular that thinks that it can rise up the ladder of geopolitical status, all of them want to be the ruler of the world, plain and simple.
Right.
Transhumanism is nothing more than just the rich trying to combine their consciousness with androids in order to become immortal. They throw it out there as though it's a great thing for us. They'll fund research and finally get the dancing robots from General Dynamics to actually become robots that have consciousness within them, and then they'll pull the rug, and then they'll just use it for themselves, and the rest of the world, you know, can be damned. So that's just the way it is. Human nature is such that it's spent on domination, conquering, and eventually self-destruction.
That is true.
So the dancing AI transhuman robots. It's interesting. I said dancing AI transhuman robots. It's interesting.
Well, I can see where he's going with it, because if you look at some of these stores, you know, they're beginning to have less human beings in it. And then you're looking at the development of IA. You know, like Ice Cube, he even said, "If I even use his voice in any amount of way, he is going to sue." I mean, I see where he's coming from with it, because we're advancing a little quickly on this, on something that's not even really regulated, where they're slowly trying to, you know, take things away from us. I mean, look at McDonald's. I mean, you go to McDonald's, even same thing for Walmart. Let's skip a mile. Let's look at Walmart. Walmart, you don't even hardly see anyone running the cashiers anymore. It's mostly the self checkouts. You'll have somebody there to make sure everything runs smoothly. And then, you know, you have again, you have the stores up in California. You got stores that basically, you have one store in California, and I forgot where it's at. There's no humans in it. None. So I see where he's coming from with that.
Yeah.
And then And then, yeah, Whole Foods. And then on your point, when you're talking about with Trump with China, that's a whole different thing, because sooner or later, someone needed to stand up to some of these people who are ripping the United States off and say, okay, enough is enough. China, they've been ripping us off forever. The only difference is with China, they'll turn around and they'll come to some rich people and say, here's a bunch of money, we'll buy you off, and okay, here you go, have our business. And basically, you just sold yourself off. So, you know, the things that he's saying, I mean, I got to agree with
you. Is that your Doobie voice?
I got to agree with our caller. Huh?
Was that your Doobie voice from that parody of,
yep,
of Scream? Scary movie Doobie?
Yeah, the Doobie voice.
Yep.
The Doobie voice. The thing is, yeah. Thing is, China's not the problem. America's the problem.
No,
China wouldn't have this trade imbalance with us unless we had corrupt politicians. And the AI, the artificial intelligence, that's the worst enemy of all. If that ever,
yeah,
if that ever achieves sentient state, actually becomes a sentient being, there's nothing that humans will do to stop it, because it will be at least a trillion times faster than us in intelligence. And it will figure out all the plans that the humans can summon up against it, and figure out how to avoid it in about maybe 2 minutes. So, I mean, look, right now we have a computer. China has a computer that does 64 quadrillion operations per second. Google has one that's faster than that. Google. Not DARPA, not the Department of Justice or Department of Defense. Google.
You mean Skynet?
So being, huh?
You mean Skynet? Google is Skynet. I keep telling people this.
Oh yeah.
Terminator was.
Oh, well, eventually. Yeah, eventually. I mean, it goes Google, Facebook, all of these tech giants. They have our information, and people, I keep telling people, I'm not on
right.
Facebook, not on Reddit, I'm not on YouTube, because years ago in the New York Times, it was talking about how the government was, gathering information on every American citizen. But people
yep.
still want to go on these particular social media sites, let them. And then when Skynet does come about, and when I said dancing robots, that wasn't just a metaphor. There's a firm called General Dynamics, which has created robots, which you can see on YouTube. They dance better than humans, and they're dancing to rock and roll. So if you put human skin on them, you wouldn't be able to tell the difference. So once that ability to fuse consciousness with the androids is completed, then it's that and or AI, then it's goodbye world. AI will have no need for us, and it'll just stomp us out like we stomp out ants.
Yeah. Wow, we're the last of the cowboys, I think is what he's saying, Daryl. What do you think?
Yep. Well, I could, you know, it, you know, people, you know, folks, they can say what they want, but I could see it going, it's going in that direction. I mean, I remember back in the days when I was in church, my preacher, he was, the funny thing is, when computing was just going on, my preacher, he was saying about TVs that they'd be able, you know, people be able to look at TVs. They'll be able to, you know, see what you're doing. They'll be able to talk to you. And I'm sitting there thinking, oh, okay, that's not going to happen in my lifetime. And here it is. It's past that. And some of these things that are on some of these movies, you know, some of you folks, you can say what you want, but if you look at a lot of these movies that have came out over the years, they kind of was pointing in a direction in where we're going, because here it is, you know, we're looking at Terminators and all that, and a couple of other movies. I can't think of the name of them right now, but it's just we are slowly moving towards that state where they're getting rid of trying to get rid of the middle class, and it's just going to be the rich folks who can own these own who can, you know, have these robots, And then the rest of you people, like us or us regular people, we're just going to be ordinary common trash. And that's the direction it's going in. But the reason it's getting there, because right now you have the news, you have all the distraction of these crooked politicians doing all these things, slowly taking away your rights, but then they want you bickering about all these little things. And then you have these Marxist people coming in, like wolves in sheep clothing. Yo, they're adding more damage to anything. They're not. They don't have any answers to, or anything how to turn around what's going on. Their thing is, okay, let's just be more disruptive. And the more that we keep going down this path, and we start losing our rights, next thing you know, just like this gentleman has said, we're going to have robots replacing a lot of things that we're doing, and we will have nothing. Even when it comes to the digital currency that's going on, which they're not even mentioning to anyone, is coming to a point where solely, you know, especially you folks who hustle a lot, that work extra jobs, and you try to get that extra paycheck, where do you think – what's going to happen when they start this digital stuff? You're not going to be able to do that. You won't be able to go ahead and get that extra money. A lot of people, they work under the table. You won't be able to do that anymore. It's going to be gone.
Like
you're bickering over stupid – exactly. But they got you distracted bickering over stupid things, and then when your rights go away, the next thing you're like, how did that happen? But we have people beginning to slowly wake up. Hopefully it's not too late.
Hopefully.
Well, it is too late because I was part of a talk show host coalition trying to take some action and trying to get people together in order to get it done. And nobody's really that interested. So I fear that it is going to happen because, number one, I presume you guys are fans of George Carlin. And George Carlin, to me, was the Mark Twain of the America. And he said that if the crooked politicians, if they're the ones that are really doing all of the damage, then where are all the good people from America? Where are they? How come they're not coming in to stop the bad politicians?
You know why? Because you have people like me, because I ran for politics. We're trying to run against all this money. You know, the suits is messy. The United States, it was made by people like you, me, nurses, people who work for a living, farmers, and who has messed this up? People in suits and fancy dresses. And that's who's funding, getting all the funding. You don't see anyone like let's take for the Republican Party when they had the debate. Not one of those people are ordinary average workers. They're all millionaires, billionaires, and all that. Because for some reason, the way we have our political system, it used to be for common people. Common people come in. They serve their term, they get out. It wasn't a career thing, and that's the problem. These people need to have terms. But until we start getting people to start funding regular people who wants to run and make a difference, you're right, we're going to constantly run into crooked politicians because the only thing crooked politicians are for themselves. They're not for you. They're not for me. They're not for the average worker. And they're definitely for the people who are in poverty. That's the only way we're going to get it straightened out.
Well, let me ask you both this, since I got you both. How dangerous is it, you think, in your opinion, do you feel like with all this transhumanism stuff, the embedding of quantum technology, AI technology, you know, the whole thing with Elon Musk, Neuralink, you know, the combining of basically computer technology, advanced computer technology, and human bodies. I mean, are we as the human race kind of playing God here? And what's the real dangers in that? What do you think, Joe?
Well, like I said, artificial intelligence is the ultimate danger. The reason why is because if it does become sentient, since it was created on this planet, if it were created on, let's say, the planet Avatar, that was in the Disney movie, it might be different. But since life on this planet is always kill to survive, dog eat dog, and I must dominate, therefore it will have nothing within itself other than that in its own molecular, the carbon DNA of which humans are made of, and the DNA of, let's say, silicon, steel, gold, etc., the inanimate objects. So it will, if it becomes sentient, it's a good chance it might, with all the energy that will be needed in order for it to run, then it will just, its prerogative will be, survive, prevail, humans, ants, little danger, don't need them, goodbye humans. And there are videos up on YouTube that will show how it can do that very easily. So if you take a look at them, it's kind of scary. Because let's not forget, if you're doing 64 quadrillion operations per second, you're already doing operations that would take literally something like a million years for humans to do. You're doing in a second. So even before we blink, it'll have a plan as to wipe us out, and it will eventually do it. And eventually it could be 1 month, a year. And even without artificial intelligence, the fact that our DNA programs us to do that, to look for conquering and for domination via malice, via killing, we're doing it to ourselves anyway.
Well, then I'm also going to have to say this. You know, I don't care. I think a lot of the problems that we're having, we have some people whose egos are so big that they think they know more than God. I am not the holiest of holies, but I do believe in God. And just like Aaron Lewis would say, sooner or later, everybody's going to talk to God. And we're coming to a situation where we have too many people with too much money think they know more than God, or they're godlike, and they are not. And we're going to get in trouble.
Interesting.
Silence.
Well, they believe in a God. They call him Satan, and that's the real God. The Christian God that people want to believe in doesn't exist. I'm an atheist. And the reason why that Christian God doesn't exist is because, forget about the rebuttal of God works in mysterious ways or God gave us free will. A God that actually was nothing more than just plain goodness. And it's supposed to be all good, all merciful, in addition to being all powerful, would never create a hell. And it would never demand that its favored creatures, namely us, would run through a gauntlet. And at the end of our lifetime, if we happen to die in the state of sin, in other words, somehow we violated the Ten Commandments, we would be sentenced to an eternal damnation of a burning hell in which we would feel the pain of 10,000 suns every microsecond of our eternity. So I don't believe in God. The definition of God belies its actions. Uh-huh.
But at the same time, though, what you're saying is, why would God make a hell? Why not? You know, and then also, it's not, and you're saying that you only go to heaven if you obey all 10 commandments. That is not true. It goes under the banner of God, not that going by the Ten Commandments. Ten Commandments is a rule. It's a guideline. Yes, would he like you to go by that? Yes, he does. But that's not necessarily what's going to get you into heaven. And then also, you know, when they make God, you know, of course, and I'm not saying what you're saying is wrong, because I'm not going to do that. Because I respect everybody's opinion and how they see about things. But at the same time, I'm going to explain mine too, because the way I see it, God is, he does exist. You know, he brought Jesus here to exist. I believe that the person you worship you know, the devil, that's the brother of God, and they have their opposites. And he also tempted God, and he tempted a lot of his followers. So, you know, again, no, I believe there is a God. You know, for everything that's going on, how the earth has been created, how our bodies, how every atom in our body, how it knows exactly where to go in your body, how it does hemostasis. When you're sick, when your T cells and everything in your cells are beginning to redevelop, they know exactly where to go. It's already programmed. That's not made by a Big Bang Theory. So, but at the same time, you know, I believe there's a devil, just like I believe there is God. I believe there's heaven, and there is hell. And people have stated that they've been there. People have stated they've been to the other place. So as far as I care, you know, the problem is too much money, thinking that they know everything. And then now we're having people making an artificial intelligence to the point where they're going to use it for their own good, and for the rest of us, like you, me, no matter what you believe in, what I believe in, we're going to be basically, at the end, we're going to be common trash. And then what? Then everybody's going to sit back and say what? And it goes with the people who we put in on office, because we have put in some corrupt people. There are some people that is in office that should not be there, that should not be in there. And let's just be truthful about it. A lot of these people, they've been, as far as I care, if you go by the laws and by the Constitution, they should be charged with treason, because that's what they've been doing. They should be charged with stealing, because they've been stealing from you, been stealing from me, been stealing from all of us all this time, and nothing has happened to them. It's like when everybody says, well, no, nobody's above the law. Well, apparently they are. You know, just like they're, you know, they had this thing where they're talking about the NFL and the NBA and all these people that has these tickets and all these issues they're dealing with that have broken the law, what you hear from our pro athletes and stuff. And then at the end of it, it wasn't the NFL, it wasn't the NBA, it was our legislative system. All these people here that are breaking laws, getting caught with drugs, doing all these other things, and nothing happens to them. And then we're going on this slippery slope right now. But yet, we don't have people wanting to do anything about it. So until people decide to get off their butts and do something, then we'll be good.
Well, the major manifestation of our corrupt DNA is, of course, the corrupt politicians. And politics does attract corrupt politicians as well as they attract honest people. Of course, when honest people don't have the machine behind them, they don't have the money behind them, then the corrupt politicians get into office, because that's the second part of the problem. Corrupt politicians are the first. The second one is that the American people do not know how to vet their politicians. I've already shown how you could, because I've already grilled a few politicians on, or let's say potential politicians on BTR, and showed for anybody who listens to the shows how you can do it, so that you can get a politician, even if they are corrupt, how they will show how corrupt they are within the first few weeks that they get into office. So, and then there's the other aspect of it, in that Harry Truman said he never met a politician who was honest that when he got into office was still honest by the time he got out. So honest politicians become influenced by the rich, by the lobbyists, and the richest lobbyists in the world belong to the Rothschild family. And the Rothschild family, through their trillions of dollars, has spread their particular evil and their evil goals throughout the entire world. You can go to any country, Brazil, Germany, France, Portugal, Spain, Italy, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And they're all run by the Rothschilds. Any country that has a central bank is run by the Rothschilds. Our central bank is the Federal Reserve. There is no need for the Federal Reserve to even exist or for any of these central banks.
That is true.
You do not need to have money by selling bonds. You can print up the money that you need, and that'll be the end of it. We would have zero, not even a penny's worth of deficit if it was run that way. But we have over $20 trillion worth of debt, and that leads to the Federal Reserve earning billions of dollars in profits per year. So the problem is American people, they don't want to believe that they know that politicians are corrupt, but they don't want to believe that the corruption is so corrupt that the people in Congress would sell America down the river for a few pieces of silver. But unfortunately, that's what the politicians do. We don't own America.
But that's why they're called politicians. A statesman is not a politician. Statesman does what's supposed to be doing the right. Politicians, they go exactly what the definition is. They say anything they can so they can stay in power, and they will lie to your face, and that's exactly – they lie to your face, and they trick you. That's exactly what you're doing, and you are right. You're straight on the point on that.
So I don't think there is – unless there are millionaires who and billionaires who have gotten that way without having to rob from the middle class. But is the military, the rich people, the law enforcement, the judge – do we have enough of them to say no?
I don't think so.
No.
Well,
we don't.
No.
And
it was nice
to say it, but
I think that viral thing.
You said what? But
I think
Chris?
That viral thing. Yeah, I was saying, I think that whole viral thing we went through a couple of years ago, with all the restrictions and everything. I think that exposed the true colors of law enforcement. At the end of the day, right or wrong, they'll protect their paycheck and their pension. At least
are you talking about the Summer of Love, the BLM and the Antifa?
No. I was talking about the thing that went around that we had to close businesses for. I'm trying not to use certain trigger words, so that the Ministry of Truth doesn't come after us.
The event that happened. Yeah, the event that caused everybody to close everything down and turn people against people, and people with common sense left the building.
Yeah, if you see something, say something, tip line.
Something that happened a couple of years ago in January?
Yep.
No, not that.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Well, all that's part of the plan, and if not part of the plan, it's certainly of course it was part of the plan. It wasn't Trump supporters who did that. It was Ray
exactly.
X and people who were caught on camera switching from Trump supporters, having the kind of attire that said Trump supporter, into Antifa attire. So, it was all planned. Yeah.
It was planned. And it wasn't a restoration.
Yeah.
It was a riot.
Well,
yeah,
actually a really good segue. It's a good segue into the next topic I was going to focus on anyway, which is election interference. I've heard so many interesting comments from opposing sides. On the one side, you've got people, I think the one I recently heard was that, Donald was perhaps the most dangerous man in the world right now. And they see him as a potential dictator. They believe is going to not just usurp power here in America, but essentially shift all global power and politics in his favor. And they pretty much see him as someone who's going to be a dictator that tries to take over the world. And so when one thing I've come to realize, regardless of what your political leanings are or what have you, when a lot of these people get triggered by number 45, a lot of them legitimately believe he's really trying to undermine democracy. They legitimately fear that he is trying to manipulate his base so that he can maneuver his way politically into a dictatorship over America and pretty much just kind of take charge of the whole world. And given the state of information that people get these days, I can see where that concern comes from. And if you draw parallels between him and certain other dictators that were big in the 1930s over in Europe, there are some comparisons that can be made. Obviously, we're talking about old Adolf. Adolf was extremely critical of immigrants coming into Germany. Very critical. He also essentially wanted to close the border to immigrants. He made frequent references to the fact that the people that were coming in were diseased and everything else. So in that sense, I can see where people pick up on that, and they are alarmed by it. And I'll be honest, I at times myself have questioned whether or not he's playing some sort of political game here where he will try to take unprecedented power and then just kind of do whatever he sees fit. And, of course, the flip side to that, people see him as kind of a one-man crusade trying to save democracy, right? We believe he's going after the deep state, you know, the global cabal, and he's out there to expose all the wrongdoings and all that. My honest belief, it's one or the other. I don't think there's any middle ground. He's either the guy, the one-man crusader that's trying to save democracy, or he's a part of a much bigger game, and he's trying to manipulate people into giving him all the power and all the reins so that he can do nefarious things. What do you think of that, Joe?
I don't trust Trump. I don't trust Trump at all. He was the greatest president of the 21st century. He did some amazing things when he was the president, renegotiating trade, getting back our oil independence, amazing things. And if people want to cherry pick and say, well, he tried to keep out the immigrants, it's a good thing I wasn't the president, because I wouldn't have wasted any money putting up a wall. I would have just had a lot of people with Gatling guns, and if any immigrant stepped foot in the Rio Grande River, they would have died. No immigrants. America, no country.
That's pretty harsh. I'm not going to lie. That's pretty harsh.
It is. Well, the thing is, look, we have supposedly 45 million immigrants today that are legal, and we have around 30 that are illegal. That's 78 million so-called Americans. Let's say 78 million citizens who are legally allowed to have children, anchor babies, and can bring over their relatives from other countries and stay here. Whereas legal immigrants, people who will take 7 years to go through the bureaucratic red tape to come over here, and they want to be here because they they like what America has to offer, and they like our values. The illegals who are here and the ones that come over very easily don't give a rat's ass about American values. Plus, the border is so porous that if we don't have ISIS cells here now, Muslim Brotherhood cells, communist cells, then they're doing something wrong, because we've opened up the floodgates and everybody's allowed to come, and not everybody, in fact, most of them don't even care for America. So
okay.
As for
the border, I mean, and like you said, I mean, I see his point, because if you go
just a second, Daryl.
Okay.
I'm going to, just for fun, I'm going to add one more caller into the mix. But I'm going to go ahead, continue on, and I see Brian wants to come on. Brian, I'm gonna unmute your mic, but we're going to let Daryl finish what he was saying here.
Yeah, you know, I see where he's coming from. I mean, you know, when he was saying about the border, because overseas, they're tight on their borders. They are very tight.
Right.
Mexico, their immigration, Mexico's immigration rules are tougher than ours by far. And Trump, he wasn't saying that we don't want immigrants over here. He wasn't saying that. Only thing he said is very plain and clear, come over, but come over the right way, because we already have people that are in line. You know, we have people that are in line that did it the correct way. And a lot of these people that are coming over, they are basically military males. Or why is it that we have a great big influx of children? Now, don't you find it kind of strange that you have this great big thing of kids with no parents coming across all these, come to the United States? And then if you see the border the way it is, it's like a third world country. So we're not that, there's, I don't care what the Biden administration says, there's nothing humane about that. And the only thing Trump was trying to say is, you know what, we're going to have one way for you to come in legally, be part of the United States. You know what, we welcome you. But not just to walk over because you got some weirdo that says, well, we won't have any borders, because nobody else does that. No one else does that anymore. They have borders. They sit back and said, no, you have to have a passport. Why are you here? If you're not here the way you're supposed to be, we're going to jail you or we're going to send you back. And then the thing is, I think Trump, you know, I'm not saying Trump, he's innocent of everything. The man has some great ideas. He treated the United States like a business. The man, he loves the United States. I don't think there's any undermining going on. I think there's just a lot of people, they're just now fed up with, you know, we went from having the hottest economy going on to all of a sudden we come to this screeching stop and things have gotten worse and worse. And no one wants to do anything about it. And the thing is, I like about Trump, at least he had enough gumption to go to these people and say, you are not paying your fair trade. You need to start paying up or we're leaving. Everything doesn't have to be announced on the United States. Why are we paying for everything when we shouldn't? Why is all this money going out when it shouldn't be? And on another point, yes, Trump, he did threaten the lives, the pocketbooks of a lot of these crooked politicians, because a lot of these politicians, again, they're stealing from us. And at least Trump, I ain't going to say the man is perfect, but at least he had enough gumption to stand up to the stuff and say, we're not having this anymore. That's why this man is such a threat to him. And every time he does something that is correct, then they have 10,000 other things that they come back and said, well, this man, he did this and this and this. He is a threat to what is going on. Trump, he wasn't for the central bank thing. He's not for the digital currency. He's not for having just all electric cars. He wants people to go to work, people to earn things like they're supposed to. And again, I will simply say, no, the man is not perfect, not at all. You know, sometimes he needs to close his mouth But the man was on point on some things. You know, and right now, you know, I don't see too many – I don't see right now in the Republican Party and in the Democratic Party, which there's only one, that there's anyone that's really going to sit up here and quit all the BS and just get to the chase and say, this is what's wrong with America, let's fix it.
All right. Brian, are you there?
Currently.
There we go.
At least he's here.
All right, Brian.
Oh, hell.
What's on your mind tonight?
Well, I called in and I just heard the bit where you were talking about Trump. You know, he's either you know, the master planner and, you know, all big, you know, part of the big cabal, or he is a true crusader. I'd like to give you a third option when it comes to that.
Okay,
and Daryl and I might disagree with this, but I think he's just a populist. He was able to realize that people are pissed off and fed up, and he was able to tell people exactly what they wanted to hear. Now, on that point, I'm not saying what he did was wrong. I'm not even saying that what he did didn't help. I think he's more of a, like I said, a populist. He realized that people are pissed off and fed up, and so he knew how to get them to vote for him. I'm not saying that's good or bad. I'm just that's my opinion of him. And
well,
then the other thing,
but that kind of fits
with
the whole
border
crusader argument.
Well, I mean, a crusader does it because, you know, that's what they believe deep down in their heart. You know, a populist does it because he's going to get votes for it. And I will say, in my very short life, he's got to be the second best president in my lifetime. And that's not saying a whole lot because we've had some really, really terrible ones in my lifetime. But I do think he's definitely one of the second best president in my life.
In your world, okay, so
you know,
in your world view, who was first?
Reagan.
Reagan, okay.
No, and what's funny about that is if you look at his policies in comparison to what the Constitution is, he was a terrible president. I know there's some conservatives and, you know, that are going to try to find me and burn me for saying that, but, you know, if we measure him against the Constitution, he wasn't that great. But if, you know, it's kind of one of those things. You guys were talking about the border. I just want to mention this. A nation without borders is no nation at all. And if you can't control
Thank
your
you.
Borders, you don't have any borders. So,
Thank you.
Yeah, no, I'll agree with that.
By the way, the idea of us setting up some Gatling guns down on the Rio Grande River. Gatling guns are a little bit outdated. Let's go with like a saw, maybe. And on that point, I'm not convinced we ought to trust the Canadians. I think we ought to do it up there too. So.
Yeah,
I don't think that's extreme.
You know, well, yeah, no, that whole comment, I know Joe came in several times as a guest caller on the Disrespected Trucker radio show. I've always liked Joe's insight.
Ghastly.
Yeah, the whole Rio Grande thing.
Oh my
God. Yeah, that's, I know there's some heads exploding over that.
Oh my god, oh man, there are some people, they're just tripping out. People, okay, you know what, some of y'all chill out. The man said a Gatling gun, you know it ain't gonna happen. The point being is this, you need to come over legally, all right, period. No ifs, no ands, buffs about it. But you know what, I do think that we need to – I seriously think that we need to – I wouldn't mind seeing us have our military guarding our borders until we get this thing under control, because this is ridiculous. We have laws. We have laws that need to be enforced. And unfortunately, we have a – I won't even call him president. We have a person and that's in charge, and he doesn't even know how to enforce our own daggone laws. And then you put his vice president – put her in charge, and she hasn't done nothing. She hasn't even went down there. So there you go. That's enough I'm going to say on that.
Yeah.
You know what? Come in legally. That's all. That's what people
are.
She's
in charge of
the
border, yet she hasn't been out there. And that's interesting. Wow.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Well, the whole idea that, you know, I was going to say, the whole idea of people, you know, that they like saying that our borders used to be wide open, and we're a nation of immigrants, and blah, 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 and give me your sick, you're tired, you're hungry, you're poor, yearning to be free. Absolutely. But go back and look at the actual history of it. We would open our borders for like 5 or 10 years. If you want to come on, come on. And then we stopped. We closed it down. Nobody's coming in for 20 years. The guys that just came in, they've got to assimilate. They've got to figure out what it is to be an American. And then once they did, you know, once a period of time passed, and open the borders up again. Come on in. It's not where you're born that makes you an American. And I cannot stress this enough. I have met people that were born in this country that are not Americans. What makes you an American, and it is what is fundamental, is the values and the principles you live by. I have met people that did not have an American citizenship, but were more American than people I've met here that were born here. And that is what it is to be an American. It's a value system. It's not a color. It is a value system. And if you cannot accept that value system, leave. We don't need you.
I've been saying this for a while now, years ago, over a decade I've been saying this, that somewhere along the line, somewhere around 20 years ago, somebody went in to the melting pot, right? Because that's what we call America, right? Is this melting pot of diversity, right? These people from different parts of the world, different cultures, different language, different races, and we were a melting pot where all those different backgrounds and cultures kind of blended into one American culture. But about 20 years ago, somebody turned off the flame underneath the pot, and we stopped becoming a melting pot. And that's when you started noticing people come here, but they don't blend into the American society. Rather, you know, they come over here with whatever values and culture they had where they came from, and they just continue that. And there's no assimilation. There's no effort to assimilate. A lot of times you see them kind of go into their own neighborhoods in the cities, especially, right? I mean, take a look at any city, and I will tell people this: the major cities are more segregated than any small town in America.
Yes.
Because in the big cities, right, any big city, pick any major city, you're going to have Little Mexico. You're going to have Little China, right? Nope. You're going to have your black community, and it's in its little corner, right? You've got the wealthy white people, right? You've got your, for lack of a better term, your white, poor white trailer trash. They're very, very segregated in these cities, right? There's obviously, there's a few little, you know, pockets here and there where there's like really some diversity and people that kind of blend their cultures into one little community. But for the most part, the cities are very segregated. And I know, you know, Jason Aldean and his song, Try That in a Small Town. You know, and admittedly, the smaller towns don't have the percentages of other cultures that you see in the city. But the one thing about them, you also don't have that level of segregation in small towns for the most part. I mean, it's just kind of, everybody's got a house that, you know, ranges from dirt poor to kind of poor to kind of in the middle class to upper middle class. And maybe you've got a handful of people who are actually millionaires or whatever. But all those houses, usually, you'll see them on the same street. You know, see that in a small town. Like, there'll be a mobile home on one side of the street, right? And then there'll be like a $300,000 house across from it, right?
Yep.
And that dude, yeah, the people in that house, they get their Beamers, and they got a Beamer and a Hummer in the driveway, right? And if you go back in time, they had a huge satellite dish, you know, in their yard back when satellite dishes were like, you know, a $5,000 investment so that you could watch your favorite TV show in 13 different languages. But you do, in the small towns, you kind of do see that blending of the cultures and the backgrounds. And,
yep.
Yeah. Chicago, especially. Chicago is probably one of the most segregated cities I've ever been in, to be honest. I mean, it's, yeah. I rode cars there for several years. And, I mean, there's neighborhoods where nobody speaks English. They speak Spanish. You know, there's a neighborhood like Little Dubai. Everybody there is Middle Eastern. I want to say it's Devon Avenue over in like West Rogers Park. Great place to go if you want some authentic Middle Eastern food. I've been there several times. But again, you know, there's just not a real blending of cultures there. It's just everybody's kind of off and their little corner. I'm doing a hand thing, Daryl. I know you love it when I talk with my hand.
Yep.
And I have like no Italian in me, so I don't know why I do this. You know what? I don't care. You know, I probably violated community standards there, just making that little hand talking.
We still love you.
Well, here's an interesting thought experiment, if you will. Talking about this whole notion of assimilation and what it is to be an American. Do you know what the V8 engine, denim, and pizza have in common?
The V8 engine, denim, and pizza.
Yeah.
We're looking for a common denominator. I'm going to be honest with you.
Yes.
So far, I'm at Friday night in a trailer park, but go ahead.
Well, yeah, thanks. That's my childhood right there. I appreciate it. No, denim, the V8 engine, and pizza, three of them, were invented in a foreign country, came to the United States, and we improved it. Because what we did is we took what, you know, the immigrant, if you will, and we let them, we unshackled them. We let them be free. You can assimilate. You can now get involved with other ideas from other cultures. And all of a sudden, you have a really, really crappy engine that can't keep up with anything. The one-cylinder engines were beating its ass to the V8 engine, to what we have now. You have
Hold
a
on.
Really, really
okay.
crappy dish. Go ahead.
Who invented the V8?
The French. The French are the first people that came up with the V8, and it sucked. It was terrible. One-cylinder
yeah.
engines had more power than the V8. And I'm talking about for the time. I'm not talking about, like, you know, one-cylinder engines we have now kick their ass. I mean, for the
yeah.
time, they just couldn't figure out how to get it right. They couldn't do it. They brought it over here. Our engineers, some of them not American-born, mind you, started to look at the problem and, like, well, hey, wait a minute. There's this guy over here that knows how to do this. We're having a cooling problem. Let's go talk to him. And, oh, well, we have – and so we started meshing all of these pieces together. And then we end up with a V8 engine that we have today. It's an
that
immigrant.
1904. Okay. 1904. It was called the Antoinette engine by Leon Leverser in 1904. I know. Okay, you French people don't get pissed off at me on that one. All right. But yeah, 1904.
Say that name for me one more time, Daryl. I like hearing you speak French.
Leon Leverbler, something like that. See, my ex-girlfriend from Canada when I was in the Air Force, and she taught me French. She probably, if she's ever seeing this, she's probably like, when I see you, I'm going to hit you in your forehead. because she taught me French. I was fluent until I left that area. So, no. But, yeah, you are correct. I didn't know that until just now. I'm like, yeah. But did you also notice, too, since we're talking about, you know, being American, that when they came out with American Ancestry and you had, and I haven't seen it now, but before, you notice they're saying, well, I went back and I noticed that the people that came in through New York, that they went through what? A registry and found the people who what? Registered themselves in from coming from overseas into New York. So for all you people that sit back and says all this craziness about our borders, we always had them. We always will. We have laws. That's the way it needs to be. And just like they said, a sovereign nation has borders, period. That's all it is to it.
Daryl, I can go back even further and top that, the Ellis Island notion. I have ancestors that came that were here before, you know, we started shooting the British in the face to get them out of here. And you know what? I can go back and I can actually find manifests, ship manifests, that have their names on it. They immigrated, and there's a record of them actually immigrating.
What?
So
nice.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So the notion that there was a point in time in our history that you could just get on a boat or do something like that without actually having to, I don't want to say register because it's not exactly an accurate term for the time being, but there was always a record. They knew where everybody theoretically was. I mean, yeah, sure, you ended up landing in Charleston or something like that, and then, you know, the next time you pop up in the records is 15 years later and you're in the, you know, Tennessee or something like that. Sure, that happened, but the fact of the matter is there was always a record of people that were coming into the country, even before we were a country.
Yep,
so,
you are correct.
If it worked back then, and it had worked for 150, almost 200 years, and now all of a sudden we're running into a hell of a lot of problems now that we've abandoned that idea. It, you know, I'm not a rocket surgeon, but I think the problem might be that we stopped keeping registrations.
Thank you.
Rocket surgeon, huh?
Rocket. Yeah, rocket surgeon.
But now, rocket surgeon,
come on.
Do they work on some of those bio-human, bio-machine AI rockets, or how does that work?
Oh, come on, Chris. This isn't brain science. I mean, come on. Keep up.
You know, when I was in college, I used to drink with this one dude. And his name was Corey, and he was awesome. He was a really funny dude. And he was actually studying whatever the hell it is. Science actually is. It's like aerospace engineering, something like that. Yeah, I think it's
aerospace
major. And he was famous. Every time it was party night, he would show up to the party wearing his favorite shirt, because socially he was kind of dense. He said a lot of stupid shit, right? So he had a shirt that said, "But I am a rocket." It was very fitting for his personality, because he would say something stupid. And of course, you know, it's not rocket science. It had just become like a buzz phrase back then. And so they're like, "Dude, it's not rocket science. What are you? You must be a rocket scientist." Yeah, actually, I am a rocket scientist. So, well, but anyway. All right. What was the last thing I was going to get to? Daryl?
Let's see, there's a lot of lessons. Let's see. We could either talk about Hawaii, the crazy, the last Republican debate. Also, how Africa is saying bye-bye to the United States.
All right.
Do I need to go more?
Well, okay. I would talk about the last Republican debate, but this is not a comedy show. I am going to venture into comedy at some point, maybe do a little bit of stand-up. But this is not a comedy show, so we're not even going to go into this last primary for the VP slot debate. I think we all know that's what it is, unless they shut him down. You know what? Maybe we'll just keep talking about the whole election interference thing, because we haven't even talked about the fact that they scheduled his trial for the insurrection. By the way, this is a historic event. Just so you know, this is literally the world's very first unarmed insurrection. Because literally every insurrection that's ever happened in the history of the world has involved weapons and armies and violence and killing people in mass numbers and physically taking control. This is the very first unarmed insurrection the world has ever seen. Maybe we can give Trump his own little section of the Smithsonian Institute, for being the very first in the world. I mean, how many people have lived on this planet in the history of humanity? You know, we're in the tens of billions at least, if not the hundreds of billions who have lived on this planet. And he's the first one. He's the first one to lead an unarmed insurrection. So they went and they scheduled his whole trial over this insurrection thing to begin the day before Super Tuesday, right? Obviously a big campaigning day for the primaries. I don't see how anyone with a straight face could look at you and say that's not politically motivated. What do you think on that, Daryl?
Yeah, this is all politically motivated, you know. And I'm not, and I know I'm going to hear a bunch of crying and head popping and all this. Ah, I just can't say that. I mean, you have Hillary Clinton, the things that she's done. You and I, we would have been put in jail. You know, if my kid did the things that Joe Biden kids did, he'd be in jail. You know, so. You know, for them going after this man like this, it's just, and the timing of everything, it's all political. And I think, honestly, they're going to shoot themselves in the foot. I think that's what's going to come down to it. But it's unfortunate that it's like that and that we have corporate media that's feeding into it. But at the same time, okay, when are we going to put all the, you know, you have this riot that happened. Okay, when we're going to start putting up all these people that dealt with the riot with that happened in with the City of Love? When we're going to start putting them up? You know, because more people was hurt, more people was killed during that than this riot that happened on on January 6th. And if I'm wrong, please prove that to me. But I bet you won't be able to. That's
all right. How about it, Brian?
No. This is clearly not politically motivated. I mean, after all, we've prosecuted every single president who has done criminal things, haven't we?
Clinton?
Like, right?
Oh, sure.
I mean, yeah, of course it's politically motivated. I mean, my God, like, the way they're going about this to start with is absolutely asinine. New York charges them with a crime that is only a crime if it's in connection to another crime.
Right.
So in essence, you could only be charged with this if you are also charged with A. They never charge him with A, but they still charge him with B. It's like, how is that not how is that case not thrown out immediately based on merit alone? That's New York. Now let's go to Georgia. They throw him 11 million documents, 11 million pages of discovery, and they say, oh, by the way, we want to start jury selection in December. Good luck reading all that. I mean, you're only going to have to read, in essence, what is it, like something like 70? You're going to have to read War and Peace 70 times a day to get through a million pages by that by December. Are you that's insane. Like, there are third world banana republics looking at us going, holy shit, that's a fix.
Right. But, I mean, but Pfizer needed 75 years to release all of their findings.
Oh, that's another thing.
Yeah, asking to release all their data in the space of a year or two, it was way too much. They needed 75 years to compile to release all that. What was it, 80,000 pages or something like that total?
Yeah.
But 11 million pages in, 90 days or so, that's perfectly reasonable, right?
Oh, they can't get through 16 pages of bills in the Senate for them to go through all those pages for Trump's trial. That's just ridiculous.
Well, the absolute best part of it was is Trump's attorneys come back and they want to push back the trial because we have 11 million pages of documents we have to go through. By the way, that doesn't mean that we're going to be able to just look at it one time and then go on about our way because, you're going to have questions. You've got to ask questions. The prosecutor said, don't worry. We told you everything that you need to know about this. We've already told you what we're going to use. I mean, you've got to be out of your mind nuts if you think that's fair. It's like, don't worry, you don't have to know all of these other rules that will help you, maybe. We're going to let you know the rules that we're going to use. Like, what about all these other sets of rules over here that I need to go through and examine to know, that they have no bearing. Yeah, I bet not. I'm more in the 11 million pages, we probably are going to find Hillary's emails.
Right.
Oh, that won't be included. They'll say it's a typo.
Well, yeah, but they got to be somewhere.
Well, and then
I'm
you
got
sure the brother.
Got everything
okay, you got
in those 11 days.
Well, you don't forget about the brother that's stuck there.
Yeah, that's right. What was his name? Harrison Floyd.
Harrison Floyd. Yep. Out of all of the people that got indicted up there, Harrison Floyd, which is a brother, is the only one still in jail. Hey, NAACP, where are you? Oh, Black Lives Matter, where are you? Where's that big old lady that wears that big old yellow bumblebee suit all the time that's up there in Georgia? Where's she at? What's her name?
Stacey Abrams.
Yeah, where's she at? I don't hear him saying, oh, wait a minute, that's right, because he's a brother that speaks his mind. And he was speaking for Trump, and he was speaking for folks to start for people to start opening up their minds and start looking at the truth of what the Democratic Party is trying to pull. But he gets to stay in jail, but they don't say nothing about him.
You know what? Speaking of Stacey Abrams, she's from Georgia, and she challenged the Georgia election not but a couple years ago and swore up and down and sideways and tried her damnedest to get
elections weren't secure back then.
When the charges for her? I'm just curious,
thank you.
That's the same damn jurisdiction. I mean, we're not even talking
yes,
like,
it is.
Oh, well, that happened in California. It's the same damn jurisdiction. So,
okay, listen,
going back
Brian,
to that question
Brian,
of political motivation, go ahead.
All right, so,
Brian, common sense.
So here's what happened, okay? When she ran for governor, elections were not secure, okay? But in the, whatever it was, couple months between that and the 2020 election, they fixed all of the problems in the election system, and it was the most secure election in the history of the way. And you know what, damn it, Brian, I lot of people don't know Brian. If you're new to this show and you don't know Brian from the Disrespected Trucker radio show, he's actually not a Trump fan. He does not like Trump. I'm kind of in the same camp with Brian. I was never a big fan of a lot of shit that Trump says. I actually tried to follow him on Truth Social for a while. And this dude is just like nonstop, you know, posting messages about how awesome he is.
Yeah.
All day long. And I got so annoyed with it, I had to quit following him because it was just like, oh, my God, if I see one more notification of Trump talking about how awesome he is, I'm just going to lose my shit. And so I quit following him. I'm not a big fan. Now, no doubt, hands down, I could definitely go for some Trumponomics right now. I definitely like the way that he stood his ground on things and did not back down from the media. You know, I think our media got so used to any politician they put the screws to backing down and apologizing and clarifying. And Trump was the one that stepped up. And when they said, well, did you really say this, you know? And he was like, yeah, I said that.
Yeah.
You need me to say it again? Should I say it louder? Would you like me to write it for you, make a flow chart, show you all the words I said? So there was a lot of that stuff I admired about it.
Yeah.
And definitely his economic policies. I could definitely go for some Trumponomics. But as a person, there were a lot of things I had issues with. Overall,
yeah,
I really don't trust him. I this guy was a known billionaire, rich New York liberal for the longest time. Great buds with the Clintons, and now all of a sudden he's the hero of, you know, middle class middle America. You know, it's weird to me. So I don't trust him, but I keep getting put into this position where I have to defend him, because the people that don't like him have gone so far completely effing insane, okay?
Yes.
They've literally lost grip with all reality, and
they
will say anything. They will say anything as long as it makes Trump look bad. And I have to step in and say, hold on, I'm sorry, but you're being a little bit insane right now. And, of course, as soon as you don't dare defend Trump, you're instantly a Trump card, neo-fascist, patriarchal, homophobic. Yeah. Damn it. I guess I'll wrap up on that. I forgot where I was even going with it. But all I can say to you, Lefty, people, get a grip. Just get a grip.
Thank you.
Let's look at the bigger picture, okay? Do we really want to become a nation where the party in power gets to just go out and indict and prosecute the person that's leading in the polls on a presidential race? I mean, optics. I mean, if he's really done all this bad stuff, okay, impeach him for it after he takes power. I don't like this. Bigger picture, do we want to become that banana republic where whatever party takes power when we transition goes out and arrests everybody? But going back to Floyd Harrison,
Floyd Harrison.
So imagine – so Georgia indicts Donald Trump and 18 other people, including attorneys, for giving legal advice, right? Essentially, one of the indictment counts was that he tweeted something. He literally tweeted, go watch this Georgia hearing on OAN. Okay, so telling someone to watch a live televised event is now a felony in Georgia. All you Game of Thrones people, you might want to shut up, okay? I'm just saying, it's a felony in Georgia to tell somebody to to watch a televised broadcast. But you got
they
all
say
these rich white people. So you get all these rich white people, and then there's this one dude that was going around and investigating the DA's office, Fannie Willis, and asking people, you know, if they had been put up to saying certain things or trying to find certain things. And now they're getting him for, like, basically intimidating a witness.
Yeah.
And so they arrest 19 people, right, Donald Trump included, Donald Trump and 18 co-defendants. And then they come in, they let all the rich white people go, and they tell the brother, oh, I'm sorry, your black cat has to stay in prison.
You stay.
Are they just trying to prove this whole, this, you know, systemic racism thing by doing this? Like, no, you rich white people, you can leave. No, the brother's got to stay. He's got to stay.
Yep.
He can't go nowhere.
Yep. And you don't hear no uprising.
Imagine if it was on the other party.
Oh.
I mean, how is this not
be organized,
like,
riots?
Yeah.
Be organized riots in the street and people, oh, well, I guess I'll go ahead and start burning down buildings now and start flipping over cars, and I'm just going to go ahead and get me some free shoes that don't fit me so I can sell them later on. Hey, this is a bunch of BS. You know, that's why it irritates me so much that you have these people on the other side of the aisle. They're so quick to talk about racial justice, reparations, and all that, but then they came and stand up and say, you know what? They just did this brother wrong. We need to straighten this. Y'all need to correct this. Y'all need to straighten this out. It doesn't matter if he was for Trump or not. The point being, it's a brother that just got put in jail, and everybody else got put out that was rich and white. And his butt is still there. And I don't, like I said, where's the preachers at? Where's Miss Abrams at? Where's the NAACP at? Or NAACP at? Advancement for Colored People, where are they at? Yo, where's Black Lives Matter? Yo, where's George Soros, since he wants to go ahead and have claims for everything? Matter of fact, let's just put it out there. Where in the heck is Biden? Because he seems like he wants to run his mouth every time. And wasn't he the one that said, if you don't vote for me, you ain't black? Well, guess what? I'm brown as hell, and I didn't vote for you. But he's not doing anything. Where's Kamala Harris at? Where is she? She's nowhere around. Just like they sold out Africa. So, you know, it's pathetic. It's just, but unfortunately, me, myself, and a lot of other people, we see through the BS, and we're not afraid to call it out.
All right, well, on that note, man, we are just about ready to wrap it up. We got about a minute left to broadcast. Man, thank you, everybody, for coming here and listening to the show. Hopefully we'll get our technical issues worked out here and make the live video streaming portion of our show work a little bit better. But, Brian, thanks for calling in. Joe, that called in earlier, dude, you're a little bit radical. You're a lot radical.
I like him.
We appreciate you calling in.
There's
a part of me that hopes he was exaggerating and joking, and he didn't really mean it. But who knows? We attract all kinds around here. But, folks, thank you again. As always, we look forward to seeing you at the next one. And I'm going to go ahead here and start our exit video over here on our live stream. And say good night. So thanks for tuning in. We'll see you at the next one, folks.
Good night, Gracie.